Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in our gospel parable for the day a picture of the kingdom of grace. That is, a picture of our experience as the Christian church in the world. Now, let me just quickly go through the details. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It's like when a king makes a marriage for his son, and he sends out his servants and says that the wedding is ready. But the people who are invited refuse to come. This is a summary of the entire Old Testament, and it is a summary of the ministry of the prophets in the Old Testament. They are the king's servants going to the people of Israel, promising them and inviting them to the messianic kingdom to come. And the people refused to listen. Again, he says, he sent forth other servants saying, "Tell them which were bidden, come to the wedding. Everything is ready. I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the marriage." This is the preaching of Jesus and the apostles and of the entire Bible-believing Christian church. We preach the completed, finished, atoning work of Jesus, that our eternal salvation has already been accomplished for every sinner, and that in the gospel and the sacraments, Jesus himself stands among us and invites us to get in on this wonderful bounty. But the Bible says, they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They thought that the coming of the kingdom of God in Christ was a small thing of no importance. So they despised it and they went back to clinging to their earthly treasures and their fleshly loves. And the remnant, it says, took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. We read the details of this in the book of Acts, where the apostles and the church are continuously persecuted by those who reject the word of God. The king hears about this, and he is filled with wrath, and he sends his armies to destroy those people and burn up their city. Jesus here is predicting the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in 70 AD, exactly as Jesus predicted it. Why was the temple and the city destroyed? Because they refused to acknowledge that in Christ, God was visiting them with salvation. They rejected him, and they had only the wrath of God to look forward to. Now, listen, before we get ahead of ourselves, we need to remember that, yes, the Jews were the first ones to hear the word of God, and they were the first ones to reject the word of God and the Christ of God. But listen, they are but a paradigm of all the rest of us. You know, sometimes we read the stories in the Old Testament, we say, "Oh, those crazy children of Israel." You know, they can never seem to get it right. And I always think when I hear people talk like that, I go, they? They is us, all right? If God had chosen Norwegians to be the first recipients of the Word of God, Norwegians would have acted the same way that the Israelites acted, all right? Except blonder, all right? But the point is, when we see these people despising the king's invitation, when we see them mistreating the Christian preachers who preach the good news of Jesus, when we see them despising the New Testament and the precious word of the Lord and preferring things of man and of the flesh, we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at ourselves. So the king, he says, all right, the wedding is ready. Everything is laid out. But those who are invited are not worthy. Right? They made themselves unworthy by their unbelief and their persistence in it. And so he says, go out into the highways and the hedges and bring them in that there may be guests at my wedding. And so they went out, the servants went out and gathered in as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And this is the mission of the church in the world today. Going out into the highways and byways, preaching the word of God so that people may hear and believe, and through the gracious activity of God in word and sacrament, they may be gathered into the wedding feast, which is the holy church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the wedding is filled with guests. And all the wedding guests there have on robes, right? Wedding garments. And they are all thankful that they have been so filled with mercy and grace that they were able to be at this wedding. They understand that they didn't do a blessed thing to earn a position in the wedding party. And they didn't even provide for themselves the robe of righteousness. It was provided to them by the Lord. So the wedding is filled with people who are thankful to God to have received such a wonderful, free, unearned gift. This is a picture of the Christian church and the people of God rejoicing in Christ. Now, it says that the king came in to see the guests. What does that mean? It means that the Lord is always present when people are gathered together around the word and the sacrament. So that just like here, Jesus is present. The Holy Ghost is present. God the Father is present. And they abide with us. And they are the ones who minister joy to us in the midst of our troubles and trials through the gospel of salvation in Christ and through the strengthening power of the Holy Communion, the feasting upon the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like in the external fellowship of the Christian church, there are those who secretly have hearts filled with unbelief. So here we have at the wedding a man who does not have a wedding garment on. And this man represents those people who present themselves together with the members of the church. They make an outward profession of faith. They appear to be, to all human eyes and ears, they appear to be Christian believers right along with everyone else. They may even be pillars of the church. But they hide a heart of unbelief. They do not trust Christ alone. They do not believe the gospel promises. They secretly think of themselves as somehow righteous and deserving by their own works. And just like this man offends God by coming in his own clothes, right? As if to say, I'm good enough the way I am. So there are those among the believing Christians who want to act like Christians, who sing the same hymns, say the same words, act the same way, but in their hearts is hiding a heart filled with unbelief and self-righteousness. This is very hard for us to see, but God sees it, and he confronts the man, and he says, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? Now notice how the question is confrontive, but it still holds forth a possibility. He says, Friend. He's given this guy an opportunity here. Right? Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And here's the point. He was speechless. He was speechless. What does that mean? He offered no defense of his actions, because his actions are indefensible, right? And he neither repented and asked for forgiveness. You see this? Number one, he made no defense of his actions. And number two, he did not repent of his actions when given the opportunity. Now, that's very important. You ever meet somebody who says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. You ever meet somebody who says that? All right. Well, this guy is a picture of that guy on that day. All right. You're going to tell God a thing or two, right? Let me tell you something. If that's your attitude when you die, when you actually take one glimpse at God, the last thing in your mind will be to tell him anything. You will stand there and be told, and what you're told will not be good. All right? People are funny. Oh, I'm going to give God a piece of my mind when I get to heaven because of the things that happened to me in my life. Oh, boy. When you stand before God and you take one look at him, the last thing you'll ever do is open your mouth and say anything. Right? And so in this life, God gives us all time and opportunity to repent of our sins. And he says, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He doesn't make an excuse for himself. and he doesn't repent of his sins. So the Lord says to his servants, right, tie him up, take him away, and throw him out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we see the final damnation of one who has lived in hypocrisy, right? That he professed to be a Christian, but hid within his heart a secret heart of unbelief and rebellion against Christ and the gospel. Now, why are we hearing this today? Right? As we're all Christian people, bearing our crosses, going through our troubles and tribulations, the challenges of our life. Why do we need to hear this? First of all, that we take heed to the wonderful mercy of God that is presented to us here, that the kingdom was prepared and worked for us without our doing, that everything is ready to be received as a free gift, and that the Lord so desires us to enjoy this gift that he sends his preachers into the world to continuously tell us that all things are now ready. Not only so, but we are by grace included in God's kingdom of grace in Jesus Christ, and we are robed in his righteousness. That is, his obedience to the law, which is perfect, is credited to our account. And his full payment for our sins has canceled our debt. And so we are in the wedding and we are enjoying this wonderful status of grace and giftedness. And we do not want to be a hypocrite. We do not want to hide unbelief under a false profession of faith. We want to praise the Lord and enjoy his benefits until finally he receives us into glory. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.